go to Isaiah chapter 57. I know we've been on a series in Psalms 119, and we're going to continue on that series back the next time I preach on Wednesday nights. But with revival coming up this coming Sunday through Wednesday, I'd like to ask this question: do I need revival? I know there's many people out there that wonder what revival is and what revival looks like and what revival actually mean. And some people think it's a group of meetings, but it is something that you take some set time apart. Now, we live busy lives today, and many people are coming and going. I know this week has been super crazy for me as we were trying to move, and also with Mr. Parker passing away and dealing with the service that was inside of that. It's been a very, like I said, crazy, emotional week. It's been a good week. God's blessed in many different ways. But what we do is we take aside some days where we seek after the Lord. It's not like we need to add more things into our schedule, because the reality is we don't need to add more things in our schedule. Probably need to take some things away. But on purpose, we say these days, we're going to, even though we got really busy schedules, we're going to set aside and we're going to come to a meeting and we're going to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we're going to be praying for the preaching and ask God to speak to our hearts. Take apart some separate days and say, you know what, I'm going to be here because I want to meet with God. I want to hear from God. And you begin praying. And that's why we tell you about revival months ahead of time, number one, so you can make sure you're here. Number two, so that way you can be praying and sometimes even be fasting and seeking after God. The word revive means to bring back to life or consciousness, to resuscitate, to impart new health or vigor, to restore to use or activity of value. And what they're saying in the Christian life, sometimes people's Christian's life can become very dull. Become something that is not lifelike. Instead, it seems like it's very lifeless. They're not getting anything out of their Bible reading. They're not getting anything out of their prayer time. It becomes something that's very mundane, and it's something that we truly need revival. And the reality inside our churches today, I believe, is the greatest need that there is revival. I know some people say, well, the greatest need in America, what's that? Well, I believe it's revival, because if the churches get revival, then you're going to be able to have the opportunity. Children of God that are on fire for God, that are trying to reach the people around this world. And so tonight I'd like to look at this question, is do I need revival? Because I know a lot of people out there are happy in their Christian life. They're happy where they're at. Don't think they need to move forward at all. Don't think they need to take a step of faith. And we're going to use this word. And I saw this across the quite some time ago about the word revive. I'm not sure if I used it with us before. I went back and looked through some of my notes. I have preached sermons that looks what does revival look like and things like that. But it's an acrostic. And you say, what's an acrostic? When you take a word and you use each letter as the main point to be able to describe something. So when you think about the word revive, the first letter is R, and that's going to be our first point, which is R is going to be for repent. Which is repent. So you take the acrostic, you write it down, R-E-V-I-V-E. Hopefully I spelled it right. If not, the acrostic's not going to work. And so you put the word R and you write the word repent. You say, so I want you to look at this. I want you to ask yourself this question is, do I need revival? Because if you don't need revival, then I would encourage you, hey, you don't have to be here next week. But I truly believe that all of us in some way, some shape or form, when we look at these questions and these thoughts is, you know what? I could use some reviving in certain areas. And you might say, well, I check off all these boxes. If you check off all these boxes, nothing's going to keep you away from services, because you're going to want to be here because you're revived. So I came across this verse a number of years ago, and I really enjoy it. It's Isaiah 57, verse 15. We're not going to spend much time here, because obviously there's a different verse for each letter. But the idea of repent means it's a change of mind. And when it's talking about repent, it's talking about repenting of our sins. And here with the idea of revival as a result of a humbled heart. Look what it says here, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, this is referring to God, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Man, that is such a great description of God. He is high, the high and lofty one. He inhabiteth eternity. We inhabit this world, this time period. Yes, someday we're going into eternity. He is eternity. And then you turn around and say, whose name is holy. There is none other like him. He's God. He's high. He's lifted up. And then he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So even though there's so much good stuff in this passage, I just want to take out that word humble spirit. God is saying that I'm dwelling in this place and this is the person I'm going to revive. This is the person that I'm fellowshipping with, is those that are have a contrite and humble spirit. These are the people that I'm going to be able to revive, the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. He said, so what does that have to do with repent? That means that I am humble enough to see that there is something in my life that needs to change. No sin in your life, and maybe there's nothing you need to get right, and this point does not mean anything to you. But this point means something to so many Christians today is because we leave a certain sin alone, or we keep on coming back to it and coming back to it and coming back to it. And that is going to drain our Christian lives. That is going to be someone who's in need of revival. It is a revival comes to a person who has a humbled heart. I'm not talking about an acknowledgement of, yes, I know I need to do better. And yes, I know that I need to, maybe I need to stop that sooner or later. It's a person who comes down to the reality, I am sick of my sin. I no longer want to have this sin. I want to get rid of this sin. One preacher put it this way, repentance is the vomiting of self. It is a disgust of the sin that involves godly sorrow, as such it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. This is when what we call the self-life, the self-focus, the ongoing pride in our heart that says, I have this sin and I'm not going to do anything about it. And we think of God as the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, who dwells with them that have a contrite and humble spirit, who revives those that have a contrite and humble spirit. How can we continue on living with this sin in our lives and expect God to bring revival? The reality is, if we truly need revival, it's someone who needs a humble spirit. He said, Pastor, you read that verse. It talks about salvation. And yes, repentance is involved in salvation. I definitely think there is a turning to God. And it's the idea we see ourselves as sinners and we know we need a Savior. And we know that Christ died for us and I'm not trusting in myself anymore. I am trusting in what God has done and I'm turning to him. I have changed my mind completely. And that's what repentance is a 180 turn. We have changed our mind about something that will lead to a change of action. And we have changed our mind. Now, how does that apply to a Christian? Because we're told to repent as Christians also. You say, where do you see that in the Bible? There's a number of places in my mind, but in Revelation chapter number 2, we're familiar with that passage of Scripture. It talks to the church of Ephesus. Remember, that's the one that says, that I have left thy first love. It's speaking to someone who knows God. It's a church who loves the Lord, who used to love the Lord. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So this is the thought that's here, is it's for the believer too. Yes, when a person gets saved, they understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, trusting in God. But for a believer, when a believer stops loving God like he should, he needs to change. When a believer is dealing with sin, he needs to confess it and forsake it. That's what repentance is. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So who is that person? It's that person that's humble. I confess I struggle. I confess I have this sin. I confess I need God's help. But it's the next step of saying, you know what? Not only do I need God's help, I'm sick of this sin. I'm sick of what it's done to me, and I'm confessing it, but I'm also forsaking it. Many times we come and we confess, and we're disgusted with the fact that we're involved in the sin, but it doesn't disgust us enough that we have to get rid of it. And that's the person that's, do you need revival? So, because tonight's goal isn't really for you to get it right with the sin. That'd be great if you did. I mean, don't get me wrong. Anytime you repent and get it right, fantastic. But the question of the hour is, do I need revival? And if you can say there is a sin in my heart and there's a sin in my life that I deal with and I just choose not to get right, that means that we're prideful and you are in need of revival. You hit that first block there. That means that you should be the first one here Sunday morning for Sunday school begging God, I need revived. And you don't have to wait till Sunday. It's not about a certain preacher. It's not about a set meeting. It's about being in the presence of God and having God speak to your heart and work in your hearts. We usually like to skip over talking about repentance. I'm sorry, most churches usually like to skip over talking about repentance. We like talking about sin and talking about getting right because that's what God's going to bless, and that's what God's going to use, is people who are humble. And I know that people like to think that they're right with God, and people like to think, hey, I'm pretty good in my spiritual walk compared to the rest of America. Boy, I am super Christian. But when Christ called that church to Ephesus back to their first love, he didn't skip over repentance. If you go back to that church in Ephesus, and we've talked about that, he says, I know thy work, I know thy labor, I know thy patience. They were people who worked, they lived. They were patient. They would look like super Christian to the outside world. He says, but I got something against you. There's something in your heart that you need to repent of. There's something in your heart you need to change. And true revival comes when we get tired of our sin and we humble ourselves before God and say, whatever you want, Lord, for my life, I'm okay with it. So if you can live with sin and not bother you, either number one, you're not saved, or number two, you need revival. Second word is the letter E. And so in this word E is a person that exalts Christ. Exalts Christ. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Isaiah, back to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6, I'm trying to use familiar passages of scriptures with you tonight just so that way it can kind of, something will click and say, you know what, there's a reason why we're having these services, there's a reason why I need to be here, there's a reason why I need to be praying, because my heart needs revived, because first of all, am I humble? Do I have something I need to repent of? The second one is to exalt Christ. Is Christ where he's supposed to be in your life today? Is Christ exalted in your heart? When we have a revival in our heart and our life, we're not going to be talking about the preacher. We're not going to be talking about the meeting. We're going to be lifting up who Christ is. We're going to be thankful for the preacher. We're going to be thankful for the meeting. And we're going to go back and say, oh boy, we had a meeting. We had a time because Christ was the one that was lifted up. If it all talks about the singing and if all of it does is talk about the preaching, they need to have revival because it's supposed to be about what Christ has done. So it's exalting Christ. A revived heart has an overwhelming desire to exalt Christ, Jesus, more than anything else or than anyone else, including more than an idol of self. A revived heart sees Christ high and lifted up, just as they did in Isaiah chapter number 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So what Isaiah did, he had a little bit of a revival himself. It said that he saw Christ, he saw him high, he saw him lifted up above everything else in this world, and he, you know what he does? He worships him. If you continue on the passage, it says, and the posts of the door moved, and at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then what does he do? He says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am the man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so what happens is, what does he do? He repents. He sees God, and when he sees God high and lifted up, he sees him exalted. He says, I am nothing like him. I need to humble myself before God. He was concerned about Uzziah dying. He was concerned about Israel. He had his eyes focused on a king, but instead God shows him a vision or a picture of himself high and lifted up, and what does he do? He says, you know what? I'm not there. I don't need to be worried about Uzziah. I don't need to be worried about Israel. About me. Whoa, I am a man of unclean lips. This was the great prophet Isaiah. He's saying, I need something too. Exalting Christ includes loving him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So what the Bible is saying here is if God is not first in your life, then you're a candidate for revival. So do I need revival? The answer is yes. If he's not exalted up, like even in Exodus chapter number 20, he says in the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, nothing else before me. There should be nothing in your life that sets itself above God. He is the one you love the most. He's the one that you think to. He's the one you retreat to. He's the one that is your life. Think about what it says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, he is the center. And once again, I know each of these topics we're just going to hit for a few moments, and it's the reality is to help us understand, why are we having a meeting when we're so busy? Why are we having a meeting when it seems like everything else is going crazy, when there's COVID happening, and then there's this struggle, and people don't have enough time, and people don't have this, and people don't have that? It's because we need revival. And it's because of the fact that these questions are saying, number one, are you humble? Are you a person that needs to repent of something? If so, then you need revival. If Christ is not exalted in your life, you need revival. There is no revival without making Christ preeminent and his word primary. So the question is, do I need revival? And if Christ is not first and foremost in my life, yes, we should be here seeking revival. Don't sit and say it's okay if he has number two. Don't care if he has more of your life than somebody else's. We as a church need to worship him, and we need, as a church family, the preaching of the word of God needs to be lifted high into our hearts, and we need to exalt him as we worship. We need to exalt him as we hear preaching. The third thing I want you to think about is not only is it exalting Christ, but there's a value for God's word. That's the V. So R was repent, E was exalt, and the V is value God's word. Do you value God's word? Do we look at God's word as a commandment or a suggestion? And that's where it comes down to, because I know people say, I know what the Bible says, but that makes it a suggestion. I like what that book says. It has a lot of great stories. But do we pattern our life after it? If this is not the authority in your life, then you're a candidate for revival. There's something that needs to change. Do I need revival? If I don't value God's word like it says, then yes, I need revival. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And the book of Proverbs has so many different great passages that says you should value the word of God. And I think of where it says in Proverbs chapter number 2, talks about how we should look at it. It says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And his word, he tells us over and over, we're supposed to meditate it. We're supposed to meditate on it. We're supposed to memorize it. We're supposed to be in it daily, meditating day and night. If we don't view God's word as the authority in our life, and we look at it and we say, I can take it or leave it. And there's a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of people who come to churches that say, I can take it or leave it, or I look at it as a suggestion and not a commandment. That part doesn't apply to me. Then you're a perfect candidate for revival. So then we see the R that stands for repent, the E that stands for exalt, the V that stands for value God's word, and the I stands for intercede. Intercede. What does that mean? It means interceding. It means intercessory prayer. I've never read anything in history before that intercede and talk about intercessory prayer. I've never seen revival or a great moving of God happen without it being preceded in prayer. There, you go read the history books. A legitimate moving of God that made a difference in their community and lives, it always started with prayer. Sometimes long prayers. I think I remember about the Welch revival, that it was a certain preacher that God had blessed, and he had been praying for revival for 11 years. And then God opened up and just poured out the blessings in that land. It even was known as a land of revival for a period of time. Thousands were saved. And it's just, he says, do we need something like that? We do. How does it happen? It happens when people pray. Think about what it says in Jeremiah chapter 33. And I know some of us really enjoy that last, but listen to the verses leading up to that. Jeremiah 33, verse number 1. Moreover, the word of God came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. So he's in prison. He's shut up away from everything else, saying, thus say the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. So it's God. Then he says, call to me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I love that verse. I used to love the part that said, call unto me. It is the fact that, you know, we can actually call out to God, and then God impressed me that I will answer thee. He's unlike anybody else. Sometimes people don't answer your phone. Someone had just called me just a minute or two ago on my phone. I'm sure it was some type of robo call, because anybody that knows me knows I'm in church right now. I didn't pick it up. Why is that? Because I was preaching, obviously. But there are sometimes people do not pick up the phone. He says, call me, and I will answer thee. But that last phrase, look what it says. Or listen to what it says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is saying that if you'll call unto him, he will answer you. But he will show you great and mighty things, which is great. I love that part. Anytime God does something special and great, we're excited. But that last phrase, which thou knowest not, boy, there's a lot of things we don't know. We don't know what to do today. And the culture that we live in, and the country that we live in, with all those things that are happening in our lives, we're throwing up our hands and we're wondering, what is the next step? I don't know what exactly I should do. I mean, I know I'm supposed to follow the Bible. I'm supposed to read. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to witness. I'm supposed to be faithful. But what about all these other things? What's going to happen? And we start, he's saying, if you'll call on him, he will show you those things to you. And I'm not talking about in some type of mystical way. I'm talking about in a real way that God, if you'll call on him, he'll show you how he can make things work out. I mentioned a men's prayer meeting here recently, and in no way, shape, or form when I talk of my own life am I trying to brag. But at the same time, God answered a lot of prayers with us selling our house. Back in May, God kind of spoke to my heart about, hey, selling the house. And I told him I thought he was crazy. That's why I told God, sometimes I think he's crazy when he asks for things. And then I thought to myself, my wife's going to kill me after a month or two of me getting to the point. And then, you know what? God has answered so many prayers when it comes to our house in the last few months. It's built our faith a lot. And it's step by step by step, he's answered prayer after prayer. Sometimes we were concerned. If I'll be honest, sometimes we were worried about certain things. Didn't matter. And it was just amazing. We took a step of faith. And God just revealed himself to us through the whole thing. I think about the Parker funeral today, and you know how it went really nice and really well. You know why he did that is because there was a lot of answers to prayer that day. They answered the prayer. We don't know how we're going to do it. No, how it's going to all work out. And but you know what? God bless. And if we will call unto him, if we will just call unto him, we might not understand. That's what we should call. Understanding, knowing and understanding the will of God, like it talked about in Proverbs chapter number 2 that we just read. It's to intercede, it's to go to God on behalf of our nation, to go to God on behalf of our families, to go to God. And like I said, it has amazed me at many times in my life that God has showed us how he could do things that we never ever thought possible. But it begins with understanding that I don't know everything. And I don't need to put God in a box and say, God, this is the way it has to be done. God can break down the walls of the box and say, I can do it so much better and so much greater than you even ever imagined or thought. So, how's your prayer life? What has God been revealing and showing and speaking to you about? He's made a promise here. He's not going to back down his promise. Have we put ourselves in a spot that God is going to reveal himself because we are taking that step of faith? And that's what he says, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If our prayer life is lacking a little bit, if our prayer life is something that we're struggling with, then you definitely are a person that's a candidate for revival. You need revival. How's our prayer life? Is it consistent? Is it growing? Is it not possible that a revived Christian can be a Christian that doesn't pray? I don't think that happens. A person who's revived is a person who will pray. So let's move on to the next V. So you had R for repent. You had E for exalt. You had V for value. I for intercede. And you guys can tell when the last point is coming, right? V for volunteer. I had you stay in Isaiah chapter number 6, and there's a reason. Isaiah chapter number 6, when a revived person is a person who's going to volunteer. You say, Pastor, you just want me to do more work. You know what? God provides. Would it be nice if everybody here at the church was all gung-ho and wanted to go do all these different things? I want you to do things as God lays it upon your heart. There are some things we need to repent of. There are some things that we should be doing. There are some things we should be a part of. But God's the one that does the heart. And if you see God high and lifted up, you know what's going to happen? You're going to come to this spot and say the same thing that Isaiah saw. Look what it says in verse number 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, three things happened. He responded in repentance, which is the first point. Anytime a person has a face-to-face meeting with God and the greatness of God, sort of like Peter when he fell on his face, you know, depart from me, I'm a sinner. And Job, Job come to the point where he says, woe is me. Second, he's purified by his repentance with the coal that we didn't read. But last but not least, he volunteers to serve. He says, I'll do it. And when we hear God speak to our hearts, the answer should be, I'll do it. A revived person is a person who has a voluntary type spirit for the service of Christ. When we see Christ as he is, when we see him high and lifted up, we realize it's a privilege to serve him and that it's not a burden. And sometimes that's what it feels like. As we heard from Mr. Parker, talked about Mr. Parker today, and you know, he's a guy who had a volunteer type spirit. Many of the jobs he did were jobs that most people didn't want to do. It was kind of neat on a survey. His survey was pretty much, hey, whatever you want me to do. And he was even talking about doing certain jobs that Mr. Parker's talents and personality really wouldn't have been the best with. But he's like, hey, I don't know how to use that, but I'll be glad to help with that. And, you know, it was just spirit that was there. And I'm not trying to lift him up. I'm just telling you the heart that he had was one to do the jobs that most people didn't want to do. And I want to encourage you today. Revival, I believe, will always come to a person that has a servant heart that sees Christ high and lifted up. And they're looking forward to that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They want to remain faithful in serving their God and faithful to serving him. And like I said, this is not going to have a survey after this because we're preaching on this. This is just to say, hey, if I don't really enjoy serving God and I feel like people got to ask me to do things and I feel like I have to be guilted into doing things and I feel like, hey, I don't really need to do anything in service for God, then you're a good candidate for revival. Do I need revival? Then yes. If you don't have a servant's heart, then there's something that needs to work on. There's something that needs to change. There's something that needs to show. And there are certain jobs that certain people shouldn't be doing. We've talked about that. I shouldn't be singing in the choir. So that's just, there's different things that are there. Last but not least, E, evangelize. What the crux of the message was, instead of a how to have revival, it's this is what revival looks like in a person's life. This is what a revived heart looks like. And if you're a person that can live with sin and don't feel like you need to repent, then you're in need of revival. If you're a person whose Christ is not exalted in your life, then you're in need of revival. If you're a person who does not value the Word of God, then you're in need of revival. If you're a person that is not in your prayer closet praying, then there's something that needs to change. You're in need of revival. If you're a person that does not have a volunteer type spirit, then guess what? There is a need for revival. Then you come to the spot E, evangelize. Evangelize. If you don't have a heart for people that are lost, there's something that needs to be brought back to life. It is no true revival that does not result in lost people coming to Christ. You say, I thought it was for the believer, and you always hear that, revival is for the believer. But if you get revived, guess what's going to happen? People are going to come to know Christ. Because the Bible's still true when it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with himself. True revival gives us a renewed emphasis on the spreading of the Word of God. And then also, it makes much of Christ and his mission. We learn to love the things that he loves. When revival comes, ministry flows from the hearts to our hands. We not only love the gospel, but with believing, sincere hearts, we share it. And when we share it, we're accompanied with the filling of the Holy Spirit, we will see souls saved. It may not happen immediately, but eventually we will see fruit for the glory of God. So tonight, I think we can all see why we need a meeting next week. Probably most of us say, yeah, there's a couple of those letters that I could work on. And start with the R, repent. Tell God, I need this. And then do your best to be here and be a part of it. And it's not just about what speaker it is, but taking time out of your busy schedule to sit and seek God and be a part of services and ask God for reviving is something we set aside time to do, to refresh us, to light a fire under us, to want to serve him with our hearts, with our lives. So revive. R, repent. E, exalt. V, value. I, intercede. V, volunteer. E, and evangelize. If we don't have a desire to see people saved, we need revival. So the question is, do I need revival? And hopefully come down after looking all these different things. As I mentioned before, the acrostic is I changed the acrostic a little bit from the original guy that's done it because there are certain things I liked better in it. But it taught me something. We need to have a meeting. We need to continue on working. We need to continue on seeking because we have hearts that need to be revived. Here is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So do you desire a revived heart? Do you long for God to work in your heart? Do you long to see those great and mighty things which thou knowest not? Boy, I love it when God works in my life. And it probably should happen more often than it does. If I'm willing to take that step of faith and I watch God get answered to prayers and see how God moves, boy, it encourages my faith to take the next one that is. And then it encourages me to take the next one and the next one. But there are many times the reason why we don't take the next one is because we've never followed through with the first one to let God move and work. Only like God can. So the question of the night is, do I need revival? Isaiah 57:15 once again says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. It's the humble ones, the heart of the contrite ones. Those are the ones that will be revived. Let me encourage you tonight. Ask yourself this question, do I need revival? And the answer is yes, plan on being here. But don't just plan on being here. Plan on being here with a heart ready that is humble because we repented, that we exalted Christ in our life, that we valued his word, we've been praying, we've been willing to do whatever he asks us to do, and we want to reach others with a heart because we love God and we want to love the things he loves. Let's pray.